Well, praise God, I knew tonight was going to be special because of what I felt in my heart the Lord wanted me to share with you. So get your Bibles out. That's pretty sad. I know we're free tonight, but you got to be a little louder than that. You got to be a little more excited. So get your Bibles out. Thank you. And go to Psalms 84. Psalms 84. I'm not real sure what this message is about tonight until I get into it a little bit more. I know that may sound funny, but I just don't know where we're going to go with this. But Psalms 84, I want to start reading verse 1. It says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." Some of your Bibles may say, "How lovely are your dwellings." "My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." You know, what an amazing statement. Now, this is not a psalm of David. He may have had something to do with it. It's not really attributed to him, but today the world is spinning and moving, and the majority of the world does not understand the presence of God. You know, I've been preaching about Jesus being manifest in your midst, you know, coming real in your midst, begin, not just in theory, not just in ritual, but Jesus becoming real in your midst and everything that's going on in our, we're living a life that we're seeing Him move, we're seeing miracles happen, we're seeing things take place. You know, a miracle can be anything from something, you know, great big to something that God just did for you. The pot you couldn't find, all of a sudden you can find it, or something that you just knew wasn't there, and all of a sudden it appears. All those things like that, you just know that, you know, God had His hand in it. It's not coincidence. There isn't coincidence. You know what I'm saying? God did it. There's a miracle. And when you live a life and you're longing for, and your flesh is crying out for a life like that with God, let me tell you what, you're going to live in exciting times, an exciting day. But the world is always expecting something else to satisfy its need, to come into it and to have the answer for what's lacking within their life, when all of everything that can be found in life is at the feet of life. Jesus said, "I am the life. I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. I'm life. You want to know what life is? You need to live with me." Right? So he says, the psalmist here says, "I've gotten to a place that my heart," how many of y'all ever had a heart to do something you didn't have any flesh to do it? Huh? But he said, "My heart and my flesh is just crying out for the living God." Because you've come to a place in your life that you know that that's the answer, right? Okay, so he says, I'm backing up to verse 1. "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts." Now, my interpretation of church, not the service, not the denomination, not the building. I'm talking about the church that Jesus says, to Peter, "Upon my rock, I want to build my church." Upon this is what's going to be here, where Jesus can come and be manifest in your midst, okay? This place, this dwelling, this gathering, this believer, body of believers coming together. I believe that if believers are hungry and we come into a place that we gather and our hearts are crying out for more of God, God is just going to show up in a bigger way. I believe that the reason what's happened is churches of Christians have gotten off focus because they've focused on the dogmas of church and church rather than focusing on the living God and wanting Him in their life and crying and training their flesh to cry out for the living God. Now, I don't know how well you know this or how much you've worked on yourself, but You can come into this worship service and the music can be playing and your heart or the spirit of you can be crying out for God, but your head somewhere else. You with me? You have to train and discipline your head to shut up. You have to be willing to walk through the doors of the church and turn it off. Because a lot of times what happens to us is we get in here in the service and we get in peace and we get in grace and then we, you know, so it's feeling good. And you start to feeling happy and then you start thinking about, oh man, tomorrow when I go down to do this and do that and then we're going to do this. And so all of a sudden you start to drift off and all of a sudden your mind is somewhere else, but your heart's still crying out for God, right? But I believe as a church that if we teach ourselves and train ourselves to come into the church, come into the service, and when the worship is playing, worship is going on, we start to cry. We're getting in agreement with our heart. Because, no, wait a minute. Aren't you born again? Doesn't the Spirit of God live on the inside of you? Don't you think that the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you is crying out for God? It says that the earth and all the things in the earth, that means the trees, the animals, the whatever, they're crying out to just to be in heaven. So you don't think your own spirit, man, down on the inside of you, if you could just get your head and your flesh to shut up, get in agreement, that you couldn't just soar to the heights and be in the courts of God? Now, when the minute you enter into the courts of God, you know what's going to happen? Life's going to come into you. I don't know how many times and over the years that I've sat here worshiping God and some situation or some problem that I had that I forgot about and just started worshiping, and by the time I got through at the worship service, I knew what I was supposed to do. Clarity came. Vision came. Why? Because you stepped into life. You got around life and all of a sudden, boom, that thing that you had thought of all day long trying to figure it out, you wasted all day because you got it in 30 minutes of worship because you just entered into the courts where life was, because where there's life, everything that you need and sustain you, it's there. Hello? Right? So he says, my heart and my flesh, but you got to train it because your flesh and your head's going to just go do all kinds of goofy stuff. It's like, I love to, my wife and I, every morning we get up and we're eating breakfast, and if I'm not leaving the house early, we sit and we have this, you know, we have our I preach or she preaches and we challenge you. And sometimes I like to take the, you know, like, the opposite side, just to like argue the fact, you know, just to stir up a good debate, try to prove me wrong or right. And I was just thinking about church as a whole. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about as a whole, what we've all been through in denominational churches or whatever. Why would anybody want to go to church? That was my argument this morning. Why would anybody want to go to church? If you don't know the presence of God, you don't know Jesus, you don't have that, why would you want to go to church? I mean, give me a break. It's another day off. You work 5 days a week. You know, you've got another day off. Why would you? You're looking to the river, to the lake, to the golf course, to the whatever, to just basically give your flesh some ease. Sleep late. Eat pancakes. Y'all with me? But as Christians, if people really knew why we go to church, in other words, every day when you're out and you're talking to everybody around you, you say, well, I go to church because, man, that's where life is. I mean, I find joy. I find the answers to my life. I find the answers to everything that's going on. It's joy. It's pleasing. It keeps me and my wife happy in our relationship, and everything's great because life comes in us. And then we have that. And everybody's like, what? What are you talking about? You see, now we've got something. It's not because, well, you need to go, you know, because you need to repent of all your sins you did this week, you know, and be right with God, and blah, 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 blah. I mean, we've kind of missed the point there. I go to church because that's where life is. We've gathered together, and that's where life is. And I've heard the old argument time and time and time again. Oh, I can find God out under a tree, and, you know, I don't need to go be with the body of believers and all. But in the courts of God with a group of believers, there should be an increase of the presence of God. I'm not saying God can't speak to you under a tree. I'm just saying the corporate anointing is a powerful thing that comes in that changes life. I'm always so blessed because as a pastor, it's not what I see with y'all that is going to tell me what's going on in the service. It's what I hear of people that just walk through the doors and what everybody says outside and, you know, the visitors that came in and, you know, and the things like that, because y'all are here all the time, you know. But those people come in and it just amazes me, the things that, man, I just couldn't believe it. That's the most amazing church service we've ever been into and all this and that and da da da. And it's all because of the presence of God. It's because they walk in here and they feel Jesus. Because he's life. Y'all with me? Now, to me, it's got to be that in our daily walk and our daily life and everybody that we're around, we've got to be changed enough here in service, get connected enough in the courts of God, that then when we go out there into the world, everybody says, there's something, there's something about you. Well, I just got plugged into life on Wednesday night service. I just got plugged into life on Sunday morning. I mean, wow. Yeah, it's great. It's amazing. But it's sad to me that there's people that can walk in the doors of the church and sit down there, and because their heart and their flesh don't cry out for the living God, miss everything and never receive anything. Hello? Let me read on. He says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. He says, we all have to have a home. We all have to have a place we call home. I'm not talking about the home you live in. I'm talking about the church you go to. You have to have a place where we meet and gather and talk to God. He says, when you do that, you're going to find that it's an unbelievable increase in your own life. He says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on the pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, which that word Baca means tears. Now, I don't know about you. I don't like the valleys of Baca. I don't like a valley of tears. But look what he says they do. Now, these people have been connected. They're locked in. They're longing for. Their flesh is crying out for God, and they've found a home. So when they go through the valley of tears, look what it says. They make it a spring. It's a valley of tears, but they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. In other words, if you're going to go through a place that's causing you sorrow, well, then you might as well turn that place into a water hole for the next one that comes by. So in your life, the thing that you've gone through that's been hard, that you've overcome because you've been connected and planted in the house of God, so you're flourishing in the courts of God, so you're being blessed in God, well, then you make that bad place a living spring, so that the next person that's come along and say, hey, yeah, I know what you're talking about, brother. I was there. Walked through that valley of tears. But I want to tell you something. This is what Jesus told me in the middle of it. I got plugged in. I got hooked in. Life's coming to me. This is what happened. I want to tell you something. Man, it's a spring. You're sharing life with that person. Have you ever been really, really, really thirsty? Have you ever, like, you know, forgot the water or worked too hard or overextended yourself or done something and you were really, really, really thirsty? And then how good that drink of water tasted when you first got it. That first drink, when it cooled your whole throat all the way down, you're just like, wow. That's what it should be like with Jesus. When we share that with somebody that's in a hard place, because we've been through a hard place, it should be that's the living waters that we pour onto them or pour into them or they drink from. And he said, yeah, brother, I've been there. Let me pray for you. I want to tell you something. This is what God's going to do for you. Everything's going to be okay. And to them, it's like, they go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. For God, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of our anointed, of your anointed, excuse me. Now verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. Now, I don't know why I've always added to the Bible there. I've always said a day in the courts of the Lord is better than a thousand years. Doesn't say that. But I've always said that. I don't know if there's another translation that says it, but my New King James here, it just says, a day in the courts is better than a thousand. Thousand what? Because see, there's a period there, right? For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. So I first read that, I said, well, that don't make no sense because a day, you only spend a day in the courts is better than a thousand days in the court. So he's saying that a thousand days, he wouldn't add a thousand days to his life then and miss one day that he had been in the presence of God. Can I say it like that? He said he wouldn't add a thousand more days to the length of his life if he had to take away one day that he had been in God's presence. Then he says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. So, the doorkeeper is a guy that stands right at the door, right? Keeps the door, obviously. So in other words, David's saying, or the writer of Psalms here is saying, I'd rather just have entered right into the door and be standing right there at the threshold, you know, like only entered in so much of God, but be in God, than to be out there, you know, romping and rustling in the tents of the wicked, having the chief seat over there. I'd rather just be squashed and just be in the meeting, right? I'd rather just be in the meeting than to have the best seat in the tents of the wicked. Okay? For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will he withhold. That's why I get so mad when people misrepresent my God and saying, well, he did this evil thing upon somebody. Or why did God let this happen? My Bible says that just being in the courts of God, that he will guarantee that he doesn't want any bad thing to happen to anybody. That in the middle of his courts is life. In the middle of his courts is peace. In the middle of his courts is your answer. In his court is everything that you would ever need in this life. Now think about this. We're going from this earth to heaven in his courts full time. All we're getting is just a little dribble. You know, some of in the book of Revelations it says that there's a river that flows out from underneath the throne of God, you know, and flows out of the city. We're just getting some dribble, some splash over, some dew that falls down from the river of God into our lives. That's all we're getting, just a little taste here on this earth to imagine what it's like to step into his courts. That's why he says death is consumed in life. It's like darkness in the room, you turn off all the lights. Darkness cannot overcome light. When you turn the light on, it's light. Right? Darkness can't overcome light. The light has to be turned off for darkness to have any dominion. When you're standing in life, you see the light and the life, you see it all. You're in the courts and boom, there it is. See everything. Everything makes sense. Nothing makes sense outside of God. In God, everything makes sense. Y'all with me? Okay. So, What I'm saying tonight and what I feel like the Spirit of God's telling us is that in these days and in this time we're in right now, we have got to work to train ourselves more and more. That no matter what discouraging thought comes, no matter what oppressive thought comes, no matter what's happening in life, you have to be focused upon saying, no, I got to get in the courts of my God. I've got to live there. I've got to stay there. I've got to wake up in the morning, and I've got to get in the courts of my God. I've got to get in His presence. I've got to live there. I don't want to do anything that's going to take me out of His courts. So when discouragement and despair comes, you got to get back in the courts. You can't listen to discouragement and despair. Because if you do, then your head gets over in discouragement and despair. Then your flesh is going to join it, and your spirit's still crying out for the living God. And two against one, it ain't going to work. Two against one, it's not going to work. Amen? So with all the craziness going on in the world, everything that's taking place, all the doom and gloom and the stupid things you hear and crazy things going on, folks, I want to tell you something. We already know where to go. We already know what the answer is. We just got to keep our head straight. Amen? Amen. So look at the person around you and say, hey, keep your head straight. Stay in His courts. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God.